If not, you'd like to read with us in St. Luke, the 20th chapter. I'm going to read just a couple of verses. And I hope you will listen to this scripture, though it's just a short bit of scripture we'll be reading today. I hope you listen to it and pay attention to the words. You know, a lot of times I think we read over things and we don't comprehend the point that God is trying to get across to us. And each and every one of us, God wrote His Word in a way, and I know today they try and change it, they try and say, oh, it makes it easier to understand. God knew the intelligence of man. And He said, though they be a fool or a wayfaring man, they need not err therein. I wrote it plain enough for them to understand it. And we're highly educated today compared to a lot of people, and yet we try and get it down to where they say everybody can understand it. And the brightest is missing the point because they're not being honest with God and accepting just what it says. They figure it's got to mean something else. It couldn't really mean that. Because we think of ourselves higher than we should. And if each and every one of us will listen to the Word of God and apply it to our heart and our life, and see just what God was saying to me. Don't worry about what would that mean to my neighbor, or what does that mean to my brother, or my sister, or my mom, or my dad. What does it mean to me? Because this is a personal thing between each and every one of us and God. When I stand before God, no other blood kin, friend, anybody, He's going to be standing there but me giving account of my life. So you and I, we better deal personally with God here, because when it comes time for us to stand before Him, we can't look around and find anybody to stand there with us if we don't have Christ's blood applied. If we do, then He will be there saying, Father, He's mine. And that's what I long to hear. All right, 20th chapter of St. Luke. Start with the 17th verse. And He beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected is the stone which the builders rejected. The same is become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon the stone shall be broken, but on whosoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Then over in St. John, the 12th chapter, and the 48th verse, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now, I want each and every one of you to pay attention to this where we read, that 18th verse, whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Now, he's speaking here of his own self. And Christ, He is one that is loving and kind and merciful and long-suffering. If you go back and read a few verses ahead of this, you'll find words talking about the vineyard. And three times the Lord of the vineyard sent men to get fruit from it. And they didn't give them. They mistreated them and just terrible. Finally, He sends His Son, and Him they killed. Christ comes on down and goes speaking this to them. And the leaders, then they begin to realize, this parable, He was talking about us. Because they was the leaders of the church, and yet they was rejecting the very thing that God was required of men and of women in that day and time, just like today. A lot of the church leaders are rejecting the very things that God required of the church, the way of worship. And you'll find here he said, him that falls on that stone will be broken. You and I today, if we're running around in the house, and we trip and we fall on the panty carpet, it don't hurt too bad. Or if you trip and you fall onto the bed, it don't hurt too bad. But if you're out in the yard, and you have wrong, and you have so many times here in Missouri, you trip and you fall, and you hit on that wrong, you're going to be hurt. That's what God was saying here. You and I, if we fall up on that stone of ground, we're going to be broken. Why? Because we've seen ourselves, Lord. We come down before and realize that he's the one that we need to do business with. In one way or the other, we're going to be dealing with that stone. Because he said, if we fall upon it, we'll be broken. And you and I, when we see ourselves lost and we come down before God, we come with a broken heart. Why? Because we see just what sin is causing. We realize just what the price that it is that we've got to pay. And we begin to realize we're unable to pay such a price. Because you and I today, when God looked down upon this world, and he was seeking for somebody to pay the price for sin, it was none of us that had that great a price. His son was the only one that had anything of value great enough to pay for my sin and yours. That stone that he was talking about there, that was rejected by the builder, that ain't nobody wants to live according to the word that God spoke. But if we don't come unto that word, here we're going to find we didn't hide the stone, we didn't get rid of it, but it's there to fall upon us. And it said, when it falls upon us, we'll be ground to powder. You know, in North Carolina, there at Mount Airy, granite capital of the world, I guess, largest open-faced granite mine that I've known of, and it may be the largest one in the world. And I've seen, as they go in there and drill, and put light charges in there just to drill to bring out huge blocks of this stone. The massive forklifts that would pick this up and they would take it to the building where they begin to use these wires that just run all over that bottom. Great old big wheels that they run around, and these wires that they would go across this stone, they would pour the powder on there, and that wire dragging it to there would cut that stone, and they could polish it, and oh how pretty they were, so slick it would just feel like it was glass when it was falling. But great old big huge stone that they bring out of there, clearly by the ton, the whole hill don't want solid piece of granite. And you can go out there anywhere, you fall down a fall there, if I hurt you, you might get up with a skin day, even a broken arm or a leg. But let them drop one of them big stones upon you. You don't survive it. Why? You can't stand that way. That pressure for you and I today. God is over the way. It will only come and deal upon that stone. That we can be redeemed. That we can be forgiven. That we can stand before it justified. But if we wait until that stone falls upon us, he said, we'll be ground into powder. And you'll find there in what we read to you Listen close to this again here in John. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. You and I, Christ made it so plain and so easy. You know, you get anything that you purchase in this life that's got a warranty or a guarantee with it, you go reading, and you got to read all the fine print. Because if you ain't careful, you'll say, lifetime warranty. Oh boy, that's something I can pass on. As long as it's working, you know, it's warranty. But then you go reading the fine print, and you'll find that lifetime warranty is only to the original buyer, or it's only as long as it's used in this type of a situation. Or they go giving you all kinds of clauses that you've got to go by. And most people don't want to read them. They just tell you, oh, I got a lifetime warranty with this. Well, you and I today, when we come to the Lord, we've got a lifetime warranty with God as long as we abide by the rules and the regulations that He laid down. But when we come before Him, He said, the word that I have spoken, that's what's going to judge you. It made it plain to each and one of us. We know just what that we've got to do. We know what that He required of us. And He said, no sin ain't going to enter here. You and I today to come before God and lay our lives down there, confessing our faults, our failure, seeing ourselves in God's favor. The day man to come, I'm not that fair. Look, there's so many times I've got a little cut on my hand, and a lot of people, they see something like that and they go, oh, I don't want to look at it. But that's nothing. That just went through a couple of layers of skin. But you see somebody with a real deep wound, a tough guy that people say, Lord, and they'll turn and look away. They don't want to look up on their hands. But Christ had me wrote for the dead when He comes to come. He said, come and put your finger there and the nail pressed in my head. Come and search in my side. He was real. To go through and suffer and die such a death and bear all of that, that you and I might be redeemed. In our sin, that we have convinced ourselves is not that bad, God looks upon it as an open wound unto death. You might look at yourself and say, I'm not hurt. I'm not wounded anywhere. You're bleeding and don't even realize it. Your very life out of you because of sin. You know, I've had people, because of sin, get so depressed with life, feel like everything is caving in on them, that they just can't stand this life anymore. So their answer is to end their life. Because they think, when life stops here, that's the end. The Bible said this life's like a vapor. You know, here in this cold weather, I come in and a cup of hot chocolate sure seems good. And you turn the fire on under the teapot and just a little bit. Here you see the steam just coming out the spout, and you know it's hot. Why? That steam is raising from it. But it don't go very far, and it just disappeared. God said, that's the way our life is. It's just like that vapor coming out of the pot of
hot water. Just a very short span and it's gone. You and I, our life is just a very short span. But eternity is everlasting. God said a day with Him is like a thousand years with you and I. And He has no beginning and He has no end. And those that leave this world unprepared to meet God, if you could mark time in eternity, you could go out 10,000 years and it would be just like it begun. Because you'd be that, you wouldn't be no closer to the end than the very moment that you first went in. Why? God has no end. And as long as God is, those that reject Him are going to be in the lake of fire, burning for all of eternity. Man does not like to think about it. They would rather think, and I don't want, I've been burnt, I've been by minor things in life, and I don't want nothing like that for 5 minutes all over my whole body, much less eternity. But there's some people who say, oh, hell's just a flash and it's gone. If you ever are around a place where somebody is burned, there's a man in North Carolina trapped in a tractor trailer that was burning. And they couldn't get the fire out. And truckers coming down the road, every one of them was opening their windows and pitching the fire extinguishers out and keeping going, and people standing there fighting and trying to get it from getting into the cab because he was trapped in there and they wasn't able to do it. And he was pleading with the cop to shoot him, don't let the fire burn him. And the cop said, I can't do it. He said, well, let me have your gun so I can kill myself. I don't want the burn to live. But he could do nothing. The fire ended up getting him. And he burned to death, pleading for hell. Well, in hell, there's no answer to that prayer. There's no end to the fire. You and I today, God is merciful and doing. He made a way. But if we don't take it, when we stand there, we're going to find that stone that we didn't want to do any business with. Is there the bank judgment upon us? And each and every one of us, God loves us enough to make a way for us. But if we reject it, it's our fault, our decision, and we'll have to take the blame for all of eternity that we rejected God, no one else. You know, here you'll find people, they'll say, well, I'm like I am because of the mom or the dad that I had. They abused me and it made me like I am, or this or that. Nobody wants to stand up and take credit for their failure. It's always somebody else's fault. But you know, when we come face to face with God, as we said earlier, it's just you two. And you're going to have to stand there and take accountability because God knows. And you know, when I was growing up, I had an older brother, and there was a lot of times Wade got me into trouble and was slick enough to get out himself, and I wasn't. But most of the time when he got me in trouble, I knew better. I was just going along because that was what I wanted to do. Well, you and I today, we can say, well, it's the devil's fault. But you went along because that's what you wanted to do. You knew better. We can blame it even on the devil why I'm not what I should be. But when all's said and done, it's your choice. God says, you choose life or death. You choose what do you want. If you're not satisfied with the life you're living and you're in sin, then turn from that. Reach out to God. That's your choice. If I leave the parking lot here at the church, there's several ways that I can go. I've got a choice. Several ways that I can go and still get home. Some are shorter. Some are rougher. Some are a better road. It just depends on what choice I want to make. But that's not the way it is in life. If we want to go to heaven, we must go one way. Through it by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way to get to heaven. And if we don't want to go there, God said, there's a broad way leading to destruction, and you can walk in it. But when your life comes to an end, don't expect to get something else. When you made the choice that you wanted to go the way of sin, when you come down to the end of your life, that's exactly what you're going to get. Why? Christ said, I'm not judging it. My word is judging it. And he said, no sin is going to enter in. You and I today, he's reaching out with mercy, saying, won't you come? You and I, and we went through this bad story. If you was without electricity, you didn't have any heat. Somebody was around in that heat. And they said, when I open the door, I see you, come on in. You can come in to be warm. I got food for you to eat. Would you be so stupid and say, no, I just stay out here and breathe. Oh, would you go in? Christ is standing with the door open. Say, won't you come in? I have what you need today. Am I for you here on the inside? But you must make the decision. While we sing a verse of a song, God has done all that He can. He does not force nobody to be a Christian. He could have said, all those that wants to be right with me must go to Calvary, the hill where I died. And you could have said, that's reasonable. The price he paid, that would be reasonable. But my God, he would realize there's a lot of people in the world that would shut out, that don't have the means to travel there. So what did he do? He said, I'll bring it to you. And he comes and he knocks upon the heart. He don't even say you have to go here and there, next door, anywhere. He brings and knocks upon your own heart. And he'll, won't you let me come in? You and I today, he's got the door open for you. Will you open it unto him in your own heart and love? While we stand and sing, will you come? It's your choice to me. Whether you want to have salvation or not, whether you want to be a Christian or not, whether you want to have that spirit on the inside or not, God said, come, I invite you. Come, I died for you. Will you come? You and I, if God knocks upon our heart and we don't open the door, it's because we turned God away. It's not because He turned us away. If you're not satisfied with the life of sin, you've got to make the decision to walk out from it. The hardest step you ever make is that first step toward God. That's the hard one. Each one after that can be the devil will tell you, you came your life into being of a man. You look in the man, there in the street, as they were walking down the street carrying the dead body. Christ stopped the possession and raised the dead. You and I today, He's able to raise it from the old dead life and give us a new life if we want it. It's our desire. He said, I
of the things of sin. Why not try God for a while?
You know, I've never understood why a person that's in trouble, when their life is, literally as the old saying goes, going down the tubes, won't reach out to God. And yet they say that a drowning man will grab a straw on top of the water as it's going by because it's floating. And yet a person that is going down by the things of sin won't reach out to that hand that's able to save them. God is so close. He's saying, here's my hand. Won't you come and walk with me? But we've got to reach out and take hold of it. No place can you find in the Bible where God makes any of us turn to Him. He just knocks upon that heart and asks you to open and let Him come in. You know, I can remember when I got right with the Lord just how good that I thought that I was till I got there in church and realized just how bad that I was. And then after leaving the building, well, even before I left the building, God communicated to me just how close that I was to dying. That if I'd have went on the life I was living, the next week I would have died. And I believe that just as sure as I'm standing here, because all of the plans I had for the next week was just dangerous. Drinking and racing. You and I, the devil can know you will die before sunset, and he'll tell you, wait till another time. Wait till another time. He wants your soul. Not because he loves you, but because he hates God. And he don't want God to have you. God loves you that he died for you. What's the devil ever done for you but get you into trouble? Destroy your life. But yet God says, I want you to know me. I want you to feel that forgiveness, that load lifted. Oh, I could tell you how wonderful it was to have that sin lifted off of me. I felt like I was floating above the floor. Why? Because nobody could see what I was carrying, but God did. And he was able to do that for me. You and I today, he's still that same God reaching out to us. Desire to be your Savior.